Christ from the Father's Son God. God bless you all. While we're standing, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And if this scripture seems familiar, it's because this is the scripture that someone preached on last week. I make no apologies for stealing Brother Jesse's text. It was just such a wonderful inspiration when Brother Greg asked me if I'd take this, and I was just dwelling and praying, Lord, and it's like, wow, this was just so exciting. I thought, I'm just going to carry on. We're going to be talking about, by faith, Rahab. So no apologies, Brother Jesse, but many thanks. You know how the Lord is so wonderful? That sometimes He's just going to open up a little door and just pour down a shower of blessings on you. And it's going to change the way you look at a whole bunch of things and draw you a little bit closer to God. Well, when I was sitting in the meeting last week, I had exactly that experience. So thank you, Brother Jesse, and we're going to minister on that. Lord willing, Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You alone are the great God. You alone are the one that can open our eyes and can open our ears. You alone are the one that can change our hearts. Lord, we pray that You be with us this evening. You'd open Your word to us and that You'd draw us one step, Lord, one step closer to You. That You give us something to fortify ourselves in this dark time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you feel free to take your seats. So we're going to start by asking, what was the faith of Rahab? What was the faith of Rahab? And to start to get an answer to this, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures that show us what faith is. Okay? And we'll just turn back to verse 1 of chapter 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Excuse me, there's some good quantum mechanics right there. You know, like we are living in a world of solidified light to the best scientific understanding. And we know that God is light, so when we touch this material, you know, in some kind of amazing way, we're actually touching God. Okay? We're touching the Word of God. And people can take the Word of God and, you know, you can make a pulpit out of it. You can make a gun out of it to murder people. You can make a whole different thing. So what are you going to do with the Word of God that's in your life? Just as surely as you can create physical objects, you can create spiritual objects. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. It's really wonderful. And then let's just take that other scripture that we all know so well in Romans chapter 10. I used to put bookmarks in my Bible, but then my mum couldn't keep up with me, so I decided I'd just turn the pages so everyone has a chance to keep up. And this wonderful scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing. But it's interesting, hearing comes by the word of God. So you can't even hear without God having put something of his word in you. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And as I've said before, that supposes three kinds of people. He that hath an ear means there are people that don't have an ear, and there are people that do have an ear. Let him hear, which supposes there are those that have an ear and hear, and those that have an ear and don't listen. So there's your three kinds of people right there. No? But we know that Rahab was one of those people who heard from God. And I thought, isn't it interesting that people have all different ways, and we have a record of how people heard from God in the Bible? Let's start off in Genesis chapter 3. And I've got verse 13 here. And it says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And there's something really quite incredible about that. That the Lord God came and talked with the woman face to face. And she heard him and she could answer him back. And it's incredible to me that God didn't just talk to the woman in that way, but Cain. God also talked to Cain in that way. Isn't that quite something? That God came down to Cain and said, "Hey, I'm not accepting your sacrifice, but you know what? If you do well, you'll be accepted." But there was something in him that it doesn't matter how God speaks to you. It doesn't matter in what form God speaks to you. If Jesus Christ appeared in white robes and sandals and walked among us, you couldn't hear the word of God any more effectively than you can hear it through me, or through Jesse, or through Brother Don, or through your wife, or through your children, or through a donkey. Okay? Because there's something inside you that hears and recognizes that word of God. It doesn't matter how God appears to you. It matters what's inside of you. Can you receive? And Cain, even though God spoke to him and gave him every opportunity, there was something inside of him that the voice of God turned his anger into an action of murder. You see? And the voice of God will bring what's inside of you into the world. It will express something into the world. And so what we got to do is we got to say, how am I listening to God? And what's that expressing into the world? Because if it's expressing the things of hate and the things of murder, then we know, I have something in me that's either going to kill me or I've got to kill it. Okay? The old man, we are crucified with Christ. Why? Because that's the part of us that will hear the word of God and will become a murderer. And we've got to be careful about that part, because we live in this state of conflict. We live with this flesh, and we've got to say, you know, which side are we going to come down on? But imagine that, God appearing and talking face to face with the woman. And that's not all. Let's turn a few pages over to Numbers chapter 12. And it says in verse 1, "As Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoke only by Moses? Hath he not spoken by us also? And the Lord heard it." Now the man Moses was very weak, meek, above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth and said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the Lord came down and spoke in a pillar of fire to Aaron and to Miriam. Not the first time a man of God has received criticism for his wife. Not the first time God has chosen a man just to test people. You understand? To say, here's something that's, you know, here's a little bit in your face. Can you still accept the word of God when it comes from a source that you don't think it should come from? When it comes from somebody who's living not exactly the way that you think someone should be living. Oh, has the Lord only spoken, you know? It's like, hey, hey, hey. God says, I choose who I choose. Oh, I love the scripture where God says to Moses, he says, go and, the burden of the people's too much for you. He says, look, go and get 70 of the elders. Bring them into the tabernacle. I'll put a portion of the spirit that I have on you, on all of them, and they're going to help you out. They're going to be your assistant ministers. So they got all these people together, and the Lord comes down, and they start prophesying. They start praising God, and Joshua comes running up. He says, there's two of them in the camp. They're prophesying. They should be in the tabernacle. We should stop them. And Moses, that man of God with the wisdom, he says, hey, hold on a second. Hold on a second. God's the one who put the spirit of prophecy on them. There's no man that can do that. If God's called them, hey, don't forbid them. Bring them into the tabernacle. And we got to have that attitude that says, where's God working? What's God using to reach people? Where's the effective power of God working? And I'm going to get my shoulder behind the wheel. I'm going to support that. And I'm not going to criticize it just because I think it's happening in a way that it shouldn't be happening. But there we go. Miriam, woman of faith, fell in sin, for sure. She's going to be in heaven. How many of you have ever met Brother Ron Peterson? Yeah, a wonderful brother. He told me he had a dream one time. And he said he dreamt he went to heaven. It was after the rapture. And he dreamt that he was speaking to someone in heaven. They asked him, well, where did you come from? And he said, Laodicea. He said, and the man he was speaking to said, oh, Laodicea, how did you make it? How did you ever make it? The hardest age where Satan was so unleashed, the age of the perfection is like. And he said in his dream, he started to feel like, yeah, I came from Laodicea. No. He said, and in his dream, he asked, he said, so how about you? What age did you come from? And the guy said, well, I'm Moses. Oh, I want to talk to Moses. What a man. You know, if you pick a figure in history that you want to talk to and say, how was it? What was it like? He's one of those people. Amen. But there's God speaking in the form of a pillar of fire. But it's amazing, again. Moses was on the mountain. The God himself spoke to a nation. And they gathered at the foot of the mountain. And God spoke to them. And they heard and they feared. And they ran back to their camp and said, send Moses, we'll just listen to Moses. And the fickle heart of man, after 40 days of Moses being up on the mountain, Ah, the thunderings, the lightnings, they became commonplace. Not even a month and a half and they turn to other gods. And we come back to this place where it doesn't matter how God speaks to you. It matters what's on the inside of you is going to be expressed to the outside of you. Do you have the faith to express it? Amen. Well, let's carry on. Let's turn to 1 Kings, you see, pillar of fire. But God said, I'll speak to them through a prophet. And here we have a wonderful example of God speaking to a woman through a prophet. It's 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to start to see that faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's a reality to it that calls you into action that's contrary to reason, that's contrary to your natural affections. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Interesting how many of these are, Gentile. How many of these are outside of Israel? How many of these we can identify with? No? And Jesus, that was, you know, remember, Jesus talked about that. He said, Elijah wasn't sent to any of the widows in Israel. He sent them to a Gentile. Why? Yeah, isn't that interesting? I've commanded the widow woman there to sustain thee. Oh, she'd had the commandment, she knew nothing about it. Okay? But there was something that God had planted inside her. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. There's a famine in the land. There's been a drought. Everyone's hungry. Everyone's thirsty. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. There's not one of us who's been in a desperate hunger situation like that. All I'm going to do, I'm going to make my last morsel of food. Then we're going to sit down side by side as our energy goes out and we're going to die. But there was something in her, as the Lord thy God, she named the name of Jehovah. There was something in her. And Elijah said to her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and afterwards make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the sayings of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by Elijah. Isn't that quite something? It's like against all natural understanding, there was a connection of faith that said, if I do this, don't understand why I should do this, but this is the right thing to do. And I will put these words into action more than I will put my motherly love for my child who is about to die into action. There's true faith, something that gets a hold of you so deeply, so profoundly that you said, I have no choice but to put this into action in my life. There's something higher beyond my understanding that calls me to say, this is the right thing to do. To listen to the word of God that came through a prophet. You know, there's another person I'd like to talk to. Let's turn to John chapter 4. These are scriptures you all know. I'd love to talk to the woman of Samaria and say, tell me about that conversation you had with Jesus. Tell me about how did it unfold? When did you first start to get a feeling that something a little bit unusual is happening to me today? Something a little bit out of the ordinary is going on. And you can see this unfolding, and it's like, when you first saw him, when he was by the well, did anything touch your heart and say, something's about to happen? Or were you completely unaware till he started to unfold your life before you? And then you were like, oh wow, how did God unfold that in your heart? What a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And here we are, and we know this story. Jacob's well was there, verse 6. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour, and there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered her and said, if thou knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. It's like, did that start something in your mind? Did that start something in your heart? When he said, gift of God, what did that feel like to have Jesus come up to you and say, if you knew the gift of God? He's like, wow. We've all had those experiences where just something opens up in your mind. And you're like, I'm not in a normal place anymore. Something has happened to me and happening to me, and I don't know what it is. What is it? It's the word of God speaking to you. It's drawing you from one life into another, from one step away from that natural carnal life, and one step more into that spiritual life, into a relationship with Jesus, where you walk beside him side by side, and you get to the conclusion that he says, I know the Messiah is coming. And Jesus said, hi, let's speak to you. I'm he. And she's like, that is it. Done. My life is completely changed because I met Jesus. And not only did I meet Jesus, I recognized him for who he is. And now I know I can follow him, because when I follow him, I am following the Messiah who came down out of heaven. And I don't understand it. This Jewish guy that looks about 50 years old, stooped down, maybe a little wrinkled, maybe his clothes are dusty, he's hungry, he's tired, maybe there are bags under his eyes because of his body and how he had a human body and how it reacted to praying all night and to carrying the burdens of Calvary and carrying the sins of the whole world and knowing where he was going. But I can follow this person because I'm seeing something that's beyond the physical. I'm seeing I've got connection into the spiritual now. And that's faith in action. The things that do appear are not made of things, or the things that we see are not made of things that do appear. And if I can connect to that dimension that doesn't appear here, I've connected to the foundation of all reality here. I've entered into a new, well, for you young folks who play your computer games, I've leveled up. No, something's different. I've got new powers. I've got a new kind of eyesight. I can walk in a different way in this world. Okay? Wouldn't that be wonderful to hear the words of God through Jesus? Oh, we'd all love to be there. But brothers and sisters, like I've been saying all along, it doesn't matter how the word of God comes to you. It matters what's inside of you How are you going to react? What's it going to draw out of you? What are you going to decide to hear or not to hear? Amen. And we can bring this almost right up to date with if we turn over to Acts chapter 17. And not with words, cunning words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration. There's Paul and Silas preaching. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Okay, no miracles, no signs. He's reasoning with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Yeah. Of the chief women, not a few. That's kind of a theme I just picked. You know, we're talking about Rahab the harlot. We're talking about all the women that heard from God. No, we can talk about Abraham. That's wonderful. Okay? But Abraham had Sarah, woman of faith. We can talk about the preachers. Not much is mentioned about the preachers' wives, but they heard God just the same. You understand? Okay? Through the preaching of Paul, the word of God came, and they were accepted. The faith of Rahab. Let's just turn to Matthew 7. Just take a quick shortcut here and just talk about, we all know this, hearing, recognizing, and acting on the word of God. He that hath an ear. You see, because it's not enough just to hear and to understand. But you got to hear and you got to understand in a way that puts it into action in your life. Because that's the final proof. Look, let's read this. Verse 24. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blow and beat upon that house, it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, okay, it's the same phrase, the wise hear and the foolish hear. You understand? This is the wise and the foolish virgins. This is the wise and the foolish servants. Yeah? It's not... This is... Let every man be careful how he build. No other foundation is laid other than Jesus Christ. Let every man be careful how he build. Let every woman be careful how she build upon this foundation. You can build rocks. You can build gold, you can build hay, you can build stubble, you can build wood, you can build whatever you want. But it all be tried by fire. And Paul says, you will suffer loss, but you'll be saved. You know, you'll be saved. You've got the foundation. You might not have much of a house when you get to heaven, but you'll be there, and that's okay, you know. It's like, Lord, help me meet the bare minimum, yeah? Help me be there. If nothing else, Lord. Okay? But maybe, Lord, I can be faithful enough that when I get there, you don't say, welcome, Derek. It's good to have you here. I'm glad you believed on me. But you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little, be thou ruler over many. Not that it's, you know, not that it's the, oh, I want to be the big man in heaven, you know. It's not about that. But don't you want Jesus to say, well done? You know? How many crowns do you want to give to Jesus? How many lives do you want to say, I've given these to Jesus. It's because of your glory that I even had a chance of touching them and changing them for the better, and I did it for you, Lord. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, but you gave me the energy, you gave me the ability to touch people's lives and to make them better and to draw them closer to you, and I didn't sit in a corner. And thank you for my salvation. But I went out and I built upon the word that you gave me. For everyone that heareth these words, these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. All the doctrine that you have, all the revelation that you have, all the understanding that you have of the Bible is pointless if it doesn't come into action in your life and affect others. Hearing, recognizing, acting, it's not enough to stir your heart, to stir your head. You need, listen, the Word of God is spoken to be put into action in this realm. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And where was the light? It was here. It was in, God said, you know, let there be trees. And we have a reality that we can live in. This is the picture. This is the work of art that God is painting to His glory. And when we're in eternity, it's going to hang there. Like a golden sphere on a tree. And we're going to be looking into it, and it's going to be a three-dimensional time, four-dimensional, whatever, and we're going to see all the shades and the colors and the lives that God lived in this world. I've said it before, I'll say it again. In this world, you're expressing one of two things. You're either expressing what God is, or you're expressing what God isn't. Which one are you going to express? You hear the word of God and you don't act on it, you're expressing what God isn't. You hear the word of God, you act on it, you're expressing what God is. What do you want to express? What part in His painting do you want to be? Ah, this is just so wonderful. And so we're going to get to the faith of Rahab now. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 2 and just see this amazing, amazing thing. Because I started a study a long time ago. Things come to me slowly. I thought, what wouldn't it be wonderful to do a Bible study on each one of, you know, what was the lesson? What was the faith? By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. No, and God opened up Abel, and now God's opened up Rahab to me. It's just wonderful. By faith, Rahab. Okay? Because these are the heroes of faith. These are the people that God said, these are the examples I want you to emulate. These are the bright, shining stars that I'm calling you to be like. Okay? And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go and view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came in men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, and I wist not whence they were. And it came about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. The men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they pursued, went After them went out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house. Give me a true token, that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And there is the faith of Rahab. That somehow, just amazing, somehow through the gossip of the travelers, somehow through the rumors that had come of the children of Israel marching through the land, somehow when they'd been camped for those 40 years or whatever it was by the mountain after they didn't enter into the land and they were trekking through the wilderness and they were hearing the reports and somehow she didn't have God speak to her face to face. She never saw the pillar of fire. No prophet came to her and said, thus saith the Lord, I'm sending two spies, look after them. She didn't see Jesus. She didn't have someone sit down and discern the thoughts and intents of her heart. She didn't have Paul come and she didn't have the scriptures. All she had were rumors, travelers' tales from afar. All she had was everything everybody else had. But somehow, in the midst of that, she heard the voice of God. And she said, man, that really sounds like the true God. That really sounds like the one God in heaven. That really sounds like that if I ever get the chance to choose what side I should be on, I should choose the side of this God and not the side of my people and not the side of my family that I grew up in and not the side of my king and my country. I should choose this God. And just maybe, if I choose this God, he'll be merciful and he'll let my family come in as well. And God said, that pleases me. That pleases me more than Miriam pleased me. That pleases me more than Ruth pleased me. That pleases me more than any. She is my star to put into Hebrews 11. Because she, by some rumor, heard enough of the word of God that when the time came, she chose the right side. She knew the men of God were coming and she said, if I'm going to choose a side, if I'm going to put my shoulder to the wheel, I'm going to do it for this God that I've just heard rumors about. The faith of Rahab. She heard the word of God through the rumors of the travelers. She recognized what it was. She was obedient to the calling. Oh, you don't believe it in the pillar of fire, do you? Well, I've heard that. Oh, they killed the king of Og and man, they sound like a terrible horde that's coming to kill us. And we're all in trouble here. And she says, but there's something else beyond that. There's a real God with them and I want to be identified with the real God. And against reason and against natural affections. Ah, we're getting time now. Okay. Let's just do this quickly. Against natural affections. Look at Genesis chapter 27. This is a really strange story. Okay. We'll just take this quickly from verse 6. Okay, and Rebekah spake to Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak to Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to all that I command thee. All right, wait a second. Who knows how old Jacob was when this happened? Anyone? You want to know how old he was? Have a guess. Someone have a guess. Micah, how old do you think he was? Okay, 30? Any? Okay. His mama's boy, yeah? His mama comes to him and says, Hey, okay, you should speak up, sister. Kapam. You had the answer. What? Yeah, you did. Okay. Because I heard you. I know the others didn't. You want to know how old he was? Just look in 34 of the last chapter. Just up or across. It says, And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite. Okay. We're talking about a 40-year-old man here. We're talking about someone that he's way past the age of accountability. All right? He's not some little, 18-year-old or 16-year-old, and it's like, okay, we're talking about someone who's 40 years old. This is a very, very strange story. And his mother comes to him and says, Listen to me. All right? We're going to deceive your dad. Okay, it's like this is. You ever thought about it like that? Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to deceive your dad, and he's like, "Mom, listen, Dad is a prophet. He's a prophet of God. God speaks to him, and you want me to go in there and go against what the prophet is telling my brother to do?" And she's like, "Yeah, I do." He says he's going to curse me. She's like. If he curse it, upon me be thy curse. She says that, okay? Listen, let's read it. It's crazy. Okay, but this is faith in action. And we'll show you how. Okay? Bring me venison, savory meat, verse 8. And now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats. I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves it. I know how to do it. I know how to make these kids taste like venison. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob, 40 years old, Jacob, not married, yeah, says to his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. I shall bring a curse upon me, not a blessing. And his mother said to him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice. Go fetch them. Yeah? So he goes and he fetches the kid, and they deceive the prophet. Like, wow. Who deceived the prophet? Who blinded his eyes? Who made that possible? That's right. It was God that made it possible. Who was the instrument of God? Yeah? Rebecca. But why? She was acting in faith. You want to see the faith of Rebecca? Turn back. Turn back to chapter 25. Okay? Verse 21, And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebecca his wife conceived. And the children struggled together with her. And she said, If it be so, why am I thus? Okay? If God has blessed me, why have I got these problems? Okay? She went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, again the Lord spoke to her, 2 nations are in thy womb. 2 manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger. And so all of her life, she was looking to the word of God. and to bringing that to pass against natural affections, against natural commandments, because she grasped hold of something of the Word of God that put her into action at that point. Mm-hmm. Now, that's kind of a crazy story, but that's the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So let's open our hearts, let's open our minds to what the Word of God is bringing to us. Okay? We're running out of time. I had a few other examples, but I want to close with this. I want to ask you, hearing, receiving, and acting on the Word of God. So the most important thing is hearing the Word of God, knowing that it's His voice that's speaking to you. Okay? I'm not saying, brothers and sisters, open your mind, let anything in, and go out and do crazy stuff. That's probably not a very good recipe for pleasing God. Okay? Because the devil is going to... tell you what, this is the realm of crazy ideas right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it's the proof, the final fruits of the last experiment that God has let humans try out. No? Everyone's looking to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, and they're going to go to God and say, well, if only you'd let us have a dictatorship. And he could say, oh, I've tried that. If only you'd let us have a democracy. Well, you tried that here. If only we'd had a Chinese emperor. Well, we tried that over in China. It's like every system of man will end in failure. So no one will come to God and say, if only you'd let us try this out. And he'll say, the more freedom I gave you to try things out, the crazier it got, till I came. Praise God, I'm looking for the coming of that kingdom and the end of that craziness. So don't open your mind to everything, but open your heart and listen for the Word of God. And then what He tells you to do, whether it's through meeting the pillar of fire, listening to a prophet, okay, listening to a preacher, listening to rumors from a far land, like Rahab the harlot did, and something stirs in your heart and says, it just nags you, it just gnaws you, and says that this doesn't seem like a natural thing to do, but I'm sure this is right. And that's the kind of crazy thing, yeah, that God is calling you to do. To leave aside reasonings and natural affections and to walk in true faith, like Rahab walked in true faith. So, what have you heard? What are you putting into action in your life today? Got another scripture. I don't remember what it is. Let me just look. Yeah, here we go. Let's turn to Matthew 10 as we close. Yeah. Ah, Brother Jesse. Send me a message. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Oh, we just did a wonderful Bible study on sacrifices and offerings. It's like, but you're distracting me. It's okay. But it's so true. You know, when something drops out of heaven, and into your heart, and into your mind, and into your life. When that happens, suddenly the scripture becomes a whole new book, and you can just start pretty much from anywhere in the Bible, and you can get to that thought that God gave you in like two steps at the most, you know, because it ties together. It's a thing of beauty, and it's like it's a beautiful pattern that God is weaving. And making these robes of righteousness for us to wear. And you say, here we are. But Matthew chapter 10. All right? Listen to the voice of God. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. Especially in this day, you know, the devil is trying to shut down the testimony of believers. Okay? Testify. What you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's God, that's not Satan. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye have more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, bring it into this realm. Him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace upon the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance with his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall he lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Amen. What is God calling us to do today? Do you have the faith of Rehab? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, all the truth that you've spoken, that it be down in our hearts and help us to be encouraged and to walk one step closer to you. If I've said anything wrong, bring it to your light. Don't let us walk in darkness in any way. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we pray that we too could have faith and hear your word and put into action in our lives, as did Rahab. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Brother Don, come on up. Come on. Are you sure? You know, you're welcome to come up and say anything. You want to close in a word of prayer? All right. Wow. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with open heart. Let the word of God impart. Let's find that one and find a key. I'm not a very good song leader without my guitar, so 53 in the handouts. God is so good to us. He is wonderful. Okay. Okay, well, I've got an old one here, so you have a thank you very much. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope in this world. Wherever we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Word of God, ever.
ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, oh, let the word of God impart. Holy words of our faith manifested to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful word of Christ. Holy word, long preserved for our war. In this world, oh, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God, oh, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the word of God impart.
I love that song. You know, when I first came over here, one of the first times I song led in Wednesday service, I don't remember how old Philip was, but Philip chose this song. It was just, you know, young man that is a testimony that something connected that song with Philip, you know, and it's like, the words we speak, the words we confess, the words that we connect to, these are the seeds of the actions that we will take out into this world. And it's a dark world and it's an evil world. And so we come here to draw on the Word of God to give us life, to give us hope, to take that out into this dark world. Amen. Shine for Jesus. Like we said, because somewhere out there is someone who needs to hear it. Okay? Somewhere out there is someone who needs to hear a rumor that there are still Christians who are prepared to stand for Jesus in this day and age. Lord, may that be me. May I have the courage and the bravery to go out into the darkness and shine for you. Word of God, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, let the word of God impart. God bless you all.